You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
One guy's good. Everyone else is like, I'm waking up still. Trying to be in the presence of the Lord. Anybody ruptured their Achilles before? I have. Anybody else out there? It's fun. You guys should try it. It's awesome. Just play soccer when you're 40, and it'll happen, apparently. But one thing that I so appreciate, I don't appreciate the pain of having to walk on crutches and all that, but I appreciate it making me slow down. Because I am grateful for things that most of the time I forget every day. Most of us don't like shoveling snow, but I am especially grateful for dry surfaces because when I'm on crutches, if I fall on my face, it's really hard to get up. It sucks. I haven't done it yet. Hopefully it doesn't, but if I'm ready, Lord, if you want to do that, that's not funny, but I'll do it if you want me to. But I'm super grateful for just dry surfaces. Just going downstairs, I'm grateful every step. I'm glad that I didn't fall. Literally. There are times where I'm going down from my second floor down to the street, and I am just grateful for every step. I didn't fall. I made it to the bottom. Woo! And then like there's a little landing, and then you have to go down to the sidewalk, and those are the ones that are scary when it snows because I'm like, these are wooden. I could slip. This is five steps down. That's going to be bad, and so far I haven't done it. I'll call you if I do. But literally, I'm grateful for every step, and I'm going to be grateful probably in about 6 months when, Lord willing, it's pain-free and I can walk around like normal, and I think I'll be grateful for dry steps probably for the rest of my life. I mean, seriously, just going to the bathroom is like, Tana, you've had, oh my gosh, going to the bathroom, like, no, I don't want to pee. Do I need to pee, really? Do I have to pee right now? I can wait another hour. Just because it's a process to get up, my foot, all this stuff. And all this attention to detail is my intro because I invite you to honestly say, you know what, God, I lose track. I ignore, I take for granted a lot of the details, especially the good ones, every day. The invitation is to say, you know what, we're in a series called Presence. The invitation is to realize that God has his arms open to you and to me. And how much of the day do we just blow right past it? God has given us so many blessings, so many blessings, so many blessings. As Matt, you were sharing that Miles woke up super early today. You have a kid. Just stop right there. You have an amazing, amazing kid. That yeah, he bugged you today and woke up probably crying, whatever he did. And there's things that bothers, but oh my goodness. So one of the kids today, I'm walking up and she says to me, "You only have one leg." I'm like, "You should be smacked," but whatever. No, but here's the thing. I don't. I actually have two legs. I have two legs. One's busted. Lord willing, I can't wait till it's fixed, but I have two legs, man. I have a leg to be busted. I'm grateful. And here's the thing. Everybody, oh my gosh, that sucks so bad. I'm like, well, thanks. But I go, no, I live in a time where there's super smart people that can literally fix it. They're fixing it on Tuesday. 100 years ago, my leg's done. They might cut it off. I am grateful. I'm grateful that there's CTA. They can get me wherever I want to go in the city. I am grateful. But it took a busted Achilles to start noticing a lot of this stuff. I'm praying for us that not all of you have to get a busted Achilles to realize how good God is and how many blessings. And so as we get into another sermon on getting into the presence, right? To play on words. Most of the time, Christmas is mostly about presents, the T. We're looking at it with a C. Let's get into God's presence and truly appreciate who God is, how good he is, and the fact that his arms are open to us. God, you are so good. Forgive us for how we take for granted the invitation to be with you. We do not deserve it, but you literally allow us to be your kids. You allow us to take part in some of the things that you're doing. You allow us to talk to you every day as much as we want. It's amazing. And then you talk back to us sometimes. Like, it's truly a miracle and an honor. Help us, Lord, not to take that for granted, and help us to slow down. One of the prayers that I pray over my kids every day, I take them to school whenever I do take them to school. Jen's been doing it most of the time now, obvious reasons. But one of the prayers that I pray with them is that they would slow down to notice what God is doing. Because it'd be easy to go to school and for most of you to go to work, to take care of your kids and do all that, get busy and wrapped up in all the stuff of life and forget about who God is and what he's doing. And when you forget that, you will usually miss a lot of what God's doing and opportunities to pray for people, talk to people, love on people, and be blessed by people too. And so this sermon is about slowing down and really accepting God, being with him as we walk through. And what I want to do is I want you to notice the characters in these stories. Some aren't even looking for him, so they miss him. Some are looking for him, and when they find him, they do something absolutely crazy in love for him. And I want you to see, where do I usually fall? If we're honest, we usually fall on the side of the people that aren't even really looking for him that much. And so we miss being with God. Let's not do that. My encouragement is, let's not do that. Let's slow down. So let's go ahead and look at point number one. I am to seek his presence. I am to seek his presence. And that sounds kind of obvious, but if you don't slow down, you won't actually seek his presence. And so let's read Psalm 105:4. It's a command. It says, search for the Lord and for his strength. How many guys are not searching for the Lord? And you're definitely not searching for his strength. A lot of us are doing things in our own power, and we're wondering why we're so frustrated. Slow down. Just continually seek him. That's hard. That's like the verse that says, pray without ceasing. You better pray with seeking. Pray without ceasing is impossible for us. But it's an invitation, it's a command to slow down and look for God. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. With that command in mind, let's look at Luke 7:36 through 50. Give you a little bit of time to get there if your Bible with you, you're going to your digital Bible. But Luke is explaining a time, it's about a year before the crucifixion, where a Pharisee invites Jesus into his home. Luke 7:36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's go back through that. Let's go back to the beginning. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with them. The Pharisees were the religious leaders. They knew the Old Testament frontward and backwards. A lot of them had most of it, if not all of it, memorized. They were the guys that you go to who supposedly knew about the Jewish religion. They knew, I mean, they were it. And so this guy, this is not written, so this is Mike paraphrasing, interpreting like what I think happened. I think he's inviting Jesus over to see like if this guy is as good as the buzz is around town. And just like, yeah, like let's important people get together for dinner. Let's do lunch kind of a thing. And Jesus goes. Now, first of all, God accepts your invitation to dinner. Like, just stop right there. That is awesome. God, can you come to dinner with us? That's so cool. And the truth is he does. But in this case, physically, Jesus, the Son of God, third of the Trinity, is having dinner with this Pharisee. I don't know if he really appreciates what's happening. Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. So real quick, I want to slow down in this verse. When a certain immoral woman, Luke specifically points out she's immoral. There's no question. This lady's done a lot of sins, most of it sexual. From that city, heard he was eating there. She just heard. She wasn't invited. She wasn't in the inner circle where it would have been okay for her to come in. She is somebody that is dirty, probably physically, definitely spiritually, and socially not accepted. You cannot come in. No. At the door, they'd have been like, no. But she heard, not invited, she heard Jesus was there, and she's like, this is my shot. She understood the value of this moment. It's like, I don't care. I'm going after it. So slow down and go back and reflect on our own lives. I'll just let you know for me, I don't slow down and hearing God might be doing something, bring everything I own to the table. I'm like, God, you got to make it super clear that this is what I'm supposed to be. How arrogant of me. And how arrogant of you. Let's be honest. Right? You raise your hand like, not me. I'm escort him out, please. He does not belong. No, but seriously, like, this lady who is the lowest of the low just heard Jesus would be there, and she wedding crashed. So she did. And there's other places in the Bible where it says this jar of perfume is like a year's wages. So whatever your year's wages is, whether it's 20,000, whether it's 100,000, whatever it is in this room, think about it. Even at minimum wage full time, we're talking $20,000. We're taking a jar, a box of perfume worth at very minimum $20,000. Right? I buy Eternity for like $50 and I'm like, dang, I'm splurging. Got a Walmart special. I'm going crazy. I wouldn't want to spend that. But this lady's is thousands and thousands of dollars. She brings it in hopes. She's carrying it in hopes. I heard that Jesus is here. And when she does, let's see what when she finally gets there, let's see what she does. Then she knelt behind him at his feet. Two places of posture that just show I know I don't belong here. She didn't go up to him face to face. She didn't try to greet him on the, you know, with a kiss on the cheek. She went behind him like, I don't even belong in front of you, much less face to face with you. And I got to go to your feet. I don't deserve to look at you eye to eye. I'm not just going to come before you and kind of bow a little bit, do a little curtsy or something. I'm going to go to your feet. And honestly, she knew I don't even belong there. She got the magnitude of the situation. We need to slow down and understand the magnitude that God allows us to be his kid. Don't take it for granted. And then what does she do? She knows behind him, weeping. Remember, she knows I've sinned a lot. I don't deserve to be in the presence of God. She's weeping. Guilt, shame, I don't know. Doesn't say, but she's weeping. Her tears fell on his feet. And she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept. In my notes, I highlighted, she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume. Sometimes we do a good job and we come into the presence of the Lord. You know, some Sundays you do a good job and you're focused and you're telling him how good he is. What about the rest of the week? There might be a point in the day where you woke up, you had a good quiet time. What about the rest of the day? It says here, she kept. Do we keep going on with a focus on God? I don't know. Again, a lot of this is I'm preaching to myself. She kept putting perfume on them. Love this. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he didn't have the guts to say it out loud. He says to himself, kind of questioning, if this man were a prophet, so he doesn't even know. She understood and she just said, here's all my life savings, boom. This guy who's supposed to know religion inside and out can't even tell if Jesus is legit or not. Not even God, but just a prophet. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him, assuming that Jesus doesn't know. I love the fact Jesus knows. We read the end, right? He knew the whole time, and he allows it. That's the kind of love, patience, kindness, filling all the whatever nesses you want, how good God is. He knew. And here's the thing. This pompous ass, she's a sinner. We can bleep that out, right? She's a sinner. He's pointing at her, saying she's a sinner. Instead of realizing how good God is, and I'm in the presence of Jesus. Wow. God, I'm going to get you whatever you want. I need to be at your feet. No. He's pointing out somebody else's fault. She's a sinner. And in the Bible, it has an exclamation mark. Like, he's mad. What is happening in my house right now? This is ridiculous. Not realizing this is the invitation God gives to us and that our best are filthy rags. Please don't go around saying who else is a sinner. We need to realize who we are and then look up. That's what we have to do. Jesus answered his thoughts. He's not even saying it out loud. He's like, let me tell you what you're thinking and how it's wrong. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Oh, again, now this is my interpretation. I don't know. He says, and arrogantly, Simon's like, go ahead, teacher. Like, I will allow this rebuttal. Really? You're going to allow? Jesus told him a story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay, so he kindly forgave them both. That's God. Some of you guys are amazing people, but you still have sinned. Some of you are terrible. We're full of sin. God forgives all. He cancels debts. That's the kind of God that we have. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, correctly, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. I suppose. You're so arrogant. I suppose. I mean, you know. That's right, Jesus said. He didn't even poke him. He goes, yeah, that's right, yeah. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. And then he starts punking him. When I entered the home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. It's dusty in Jerusalem, right? It's dusty. And so you take a bath. The first place to get dirty is your feet. The most time I had sandals, so it's customary when you come into someone's home, let's wash off your feet. A couple reasons. The one is sanitary. Let's get it clean. Number two is you're going to drag it all over my house, right? Let's get it clean. That's a customary thing to do. That's the norm. You didn't even offer that. Whether you forgot, whether your servant took a day off, whatever, you didn't do it. But what did she do? She has washed them with her tears. How many tears does it take to wash someone's feet? I don't know, but she's just weeping. And then she takes her hair. Remember, her hair's not easy to clean. Go back 2,000 years, it's even harder. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care. Her feet are literally washing his feet with it, and then her hair. It's a crazy scene. Goes back to him. You didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't give me a customary, like, hey, we're brothers. Right? You didn't even shake my hand and say hello. You're just like, ah, why don't you sit right there? I don't know what it was, but you didn't even give me a customary kiss, like a brotherly welcome. But when she came in, she does. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. She hasn't stopped. She's been there. Again, she wouldn't even think about going to the face and giving a brotherly kiss. I belong at your feet, but if I get your feet, I'm going to kiss them all day. That's how much she understands how much love God is giving her, how important this man is, how good this man is, just weeping. When was the last time you wept at how good God is? I'll be honest with me, I don't weep every day. I don't think I weep once a month. But just like my Achilles, we need to slow down and appreciate how good God is. When you do, you can start to see how good God is. When you focus on that, God's going to fill you up with the love to love others. You can't muster that up. But when you realize, oh my goodness, God, you are so good and you've saved me from so much, then losing a $3,000, you know, $20,000 bottle of perfume to love on you is no big deal. Let's do that. I've got one shot. Let's give it all. When you don't focus on how good God is, all of a sudden the sacrifices seem, I don't know if I want to get up for church today. I've had a hard week. I don't know if I want to tithe. I got Christmas coming up. I got to budget correctly so that I can make sure I get all the gifts for people. Wrong presents. Go back. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. But she has anointed my feet with rare perfumes. I looked up why it's important about, you know, what's so important about anointing the head. One of the uses for anointing someone's head with oil is anointing the head priest. And kind of in a roundabout way, Jesus is like, you didn't recognize I'm the Son of God. I am the main priest of all priests. You missed it. But check this out. She has anointed my feet with rare perfume. She got it. You didn't even acknowledge me that I'm the high priest of all high priests. But she dumped thousands of dollars just on my feet. She didn't even go for the head because she knows, no, I don't belong there. Do we neglect that Jesus is the high priest? Do we neglect how big God is? All the time, right? We walk around with our dreams, our ideas, what makes us happy. God's like, oh, come on, guys, recognize me. Good. He turns back to him and says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. Going back to, man, if you only knew, she's a sinner. Jesus is like, oh, I know. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. She's the person that got, you know, forgiven that bigger amount. But a person who is forgiven little, now if you're just doing some basic deduction, that's the big one, you're the little one, get it? See if he recognizes it. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And let's look again at the response of some of the people in the room. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that goes around forgiving sins? Because in Jewish tradition, only God can do that. The high priests and the other people, they can't forgive sins. They can kind of set up what God established for what you do for sins, and they can kind of walk you through, but they cannot literally forgive sins. That's not what they're allowed to do. They don't have that authority. So they're saying, who does this guy think he is with the authority to forgive sins? Now, the mind-blowing part is, if you just did some basic deductions, you'd be like, oh, if he's forgiving sins, he's claiming to be God. Easy math right there. But because they're not seeking him, they don't realize who this really is. This is a huge statement Jesus is saying. A lot of people might say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. He never literally said, I am God. And in some ways, they're right. But when he says, your sins are forgiven, when he's forgiving sins, this is saying, I have the authority of God. Amazing. But they miss it. They don't go, oh, wait a minute. Should we be worshiping? Should we go get some expensive oil? Should we be at his feet? No, they're getting mad. Who is this guy? Who's this guy? Just more examples of people missing it. I'm begging us, let's not miss. And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Did what she do take faith? Yes. She went against all the societal norms. I'm dirty. I know. I don't care. I'm going in the presence of the high priest. And not only am I just going to go to be there, I'm taking everything I own and I'm going to use it on him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to love him. I don't belong here. I know that. That's why she's weeping. I love you. I just want to show you that I love you with everything. That's where we need to be. So point number one, I am to seek his presence. Number two, I am to love his presence. It's not only enough just to love, sorry, to seek. But then when you get there and you know you're in the presence of God, do you love it? Do you appreciate the fact that God talks to you? Do you love the fact that God's made a way for you to come back to him? Or do we take that for granted and we just kind of ignore it? Psalm 84:10. When I was in college, when I first became a Christian, there's a song that we sang a lot. Talked about this verse. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Sorry, 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. In other words, I'd rather have one day, if I get to truly spend it with you, God, than 1,000 at the most. Like, just think of wherever your paradise is. 1,000 days there or just one in your presence. When you realize how good God is, I'll take the one. If you forget, I want 1,000. Right? I want the 3 years. My favorite spot. God's saying, no, I take the one. I would rather be the lowest person on the totem pole if I get to be in your house, God, than the good life with people without God. Compare and contrast. And let's look again. Now this is, as we go into Mark 14:1-9, this story is very similar, but it's actually not the same story. The first story was about a year before Jesus goes to the cross, and the person that invites Jesus over is a Pharisee, and the girl named Mary is the one that's immoral. In this story, a little couple differences. Number one, it's just a couple days. It's like right before the crucifixion, right before Jesus is arrested. And the person that invites him over is a guy named Simon again, but this guy was healed of leprosy. He wasn't a Pharisee that I know of. He was healed of leprosy. So when we talk about who's been forgiven much, who's this guy, Jesus, pretty much saved his life physically, relationally in society, and spiritually. So this guy is like, dude, I owe you everything. Come have dinner with me. And there's another Mary, but it's not the immoral woman. This is a different Mary. But she's very grateful too because she's the sister of Lazarus who he's raised from the dead. So again, very grateful. So this is more of a grateful place. Let's read Mark 14, 1 through 9. Again, I am to love his presence. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people might riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Go back to the beginning. Here we are in some, right before some very holy days. Passover and Festival of Unleavened Bread. Go and do your own research. They're holidays, super special to the Jewish people. And here are the religious leaders looking for a way to kill somebody, much less the Son of God. They don't know. And so it's like we're getting ready for Christmas, as we are, right? You do the math. We're getting close to Christmas. And it'd be like us plotting a murder. That's crazy. And these are the religious leaders. What would you do if you found out Pastor Nathan and I are plotting to kill one of you right before Christmas? That's ridiculous. But that's what's happening. That's what's literally happening in this story. The only reason they don't is because, well, it's a holiday, the people will riot, so we got to wait a little bit. We got to do this in secret. That's what's happening. Jesus is at the house of Bethany in the home of Simon. He's in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. So again, this guy is super grateful. So he's just loving the fact that Jesus would come to his home. Jesus is a very busy guy. And the fact that he's important. So the fact that he's coming in, I bet there was a lot of gratefulness. And then while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Now that name doesn't sound very pretty. Ladies, if someone got you the essence of nard, it doesn't sound very nice, right? But apparently it's super expensive. It could have been sold for a whole year's wages. Again, hitting that point that it's to the point of ridiculous that thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, she's going to just break open a jar and pour over his head. Now remember, usually when you anoint the priest's head with oil, I don't think it's a whole jar. But she's like, no, we're in this. Let's do it. So she spends probably her life saving. Let's do it. And again, are we seeking God's presence and loving it? Or, in verse 4, some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? Yes, it could have been sold for year's wages and the money given to the poor. Here's the sad part. So they scolded her harshly. You're an idiot wasting all this money. Do you know what we could have done? And I'm just telling you now, the longer you follow God, God is going to ask you to do things that seem ridiculous to others. And I need you to have the courage of these two ladies to say, no, I'm all in. I'm all in. I don't care what people say, right? The lady in the first row, I don't care what people say. I don't care what kind of trouble I might get in. I'm all in. If I can be with God, I'm all in. If I can love on God, I'm all in. If I can be with him for one day, I'm all in. These guys miss it. Jesus doesn't. He replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. He knows he's about to be gone. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Now again, there's some big clues. What do you mean? He's getting you ready for burial. He's saying, I'm going to die. He knows she's preparing me. You guys are missing it. You're mad at her for doing what should happen. You don't know. It's about to get super busy around here. They might not have the chance to do this. She has it. She got it. I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, including today right now, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed and I would say honored. As we have to be like her. She's our example. On a side note real quick, there's a lot of talk about sexism and rights and wrongs of men and women. I don't want to go into all that. I just want you to know the Bible is an amazing place, one of the original places where God loves women. He loves on them and he gives so much honor to this woman. When it drives me crazy when people say your religion is archaic and it's racist and it's sexist and all. I'm like, no, you don't understand how much love is contained here. There's a lot, like, this woman's getting so many props right now. We got to be like her. So, number one, I am to seek his presence. I am to love his presence. And number three, I am to celebrate his presence. So, it's one thing to look for him. First of all, like, that needs to be our job for some of us. Just slow down and look for him. Then, for some of us, it's, you've been trying to look for him. Love him. Know that he is good and love hanging out with him. And then third, we need to celebrate his presence. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people in the room, God has done something good for you? God's done some amazing things, right? Amen. How often do you celebrate that and tell others? Most of the time we're like, thank you, God, and then we forget. We move on. We have to celebrate when God hangs out with us and loves on us. If you're not celebrating that, when you tell people about God, what's the point? But if they know because you shared how good God is, you've celebrated it. That's kind of what Sunday's all about. We're celebrating him. Don't forsake celebrating him. People will know that you are his follower when we love each other, but you got to let people know what God's doing and how good he is. Celebrate him. So I'm going to read Romans 12:1. I think this encapsulates how our response should be to how good he is and how we celebrate. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Listen to this last part. This is truly the way to worship him. Another translation, this is your spiritual act of worship. It's not just singing songs on Sunday or in the car on your way to work. You worship him by acknowledging, God, you are so good. And because I give my life to you. Let's read Matthew 26:6. I'm going to go through kind of fast. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. It sounds almost exactly like Mark's, right? It's basically sharing the same exact story, almost word for word here. And so I ask God, why do you want me to read this third one? He's like, because they need to hear it a third time. So that was just an act of obedience. I didn't bring anything new to the table on that one. But God was like, no, they need to hear it three times. So I did. And here's why. I think sometimes in verse 8, the disciples were indignant. I think sometimes we get upset when stuff doesn't go our way. And it's quick. You're quick to try and figure out different ways. Well, we could have sold that and done this, and we could have started a new ministry and blah, blah, blah. And you've got to slow down and go, God, no, you're good. I trust you. This sucks. But I love you, and I give my life to you. Let's go to the application. Point number one, I am to seek his presence. Point number two, I am to love his presence. Point number three, I am to celebrate his presence. I read those again because the application is for you to choose one or more of the sermon points to focus on this week. And I want you to sit and talk after we sing two more songs and things like that. What I want to do is focus on which one of these, possibly two or three, you need to focus on. And then practically, what is that going to look like? Some of you haven't been doing you haven't read the Bible in a long time. Or if you do, it's like begrudgingly. Some of you don't pray enough. Actually, okay, stop. All of us don't pray enough. None of us pray enough. I don't pray enough. Pastor Nathan, the worship team, like none of us pray enough. We need to pray without ceasing, and no one's hitting that mark. So all of us need to pray more. But again, how is God asking you? Am I to love his presence? Yes. How do I do that? Maybe you need to celebrate. Maybe you need to just invite someone to lunch and be like, let's talk. I need to share with you some good stuff that's happening. What gift does God want from you? I'm not saying go out and buy some crazy rare perfume and dump it on somebody. I'm not asking you to do that. I am asking, what is God asking you to do? That cost, whatever it is, wrestle with it and pay it and do what you're supposed to do. Let me invite the worship team up.